Next case for argument, United States versus Young. Mr. Hunter.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Hunter, and I am the attorney for Roy Young, the appellant in this matter. In this case, the trial court admitted expert testimony from Dr. Elizabeth Burgess regarding whether or not Beatrice Patrick specifically was a battered woman and if her subsequent behavior could be explained because she was a battered woman, and also general testimony about how battered women behave. And I think that one of the problems in this case is that rather than go forward with the idea that Beatrice Patrick was suffering from the battered woman syndrome, which would have been a somewhat identifiable set of symptoms, the presentation of the evidence turned into using the term battered women. And I believe that the judge didn't properly apply the Daubert framework or Kum Ho Tyre, because what happened essentially was that the Dr. Burgess testified that Beatrice Patrick was a battered woman in the sense that she's a woman and she had been battered by her significant other, and I don't think she ever proved that it was to such an extent that it could be the term battered woman could be used in a clinical sense. I guess I should point out right now that I made a mistake in my brief when I put down standard of review. The government's brief correctly articulates the standard of review, because I believe that the framework was improperly applied, and therefore the standard of review would be de novo rather than abuse of discretion. With that clarification, I would point out that in this case, the testimony of Dr. Burgess never established that her conclusions that Beatrice Patrick was a battered woman were in any way testable. There was no way you could verify that she was saying what she said because she was a battered woman as opposed to saying it for some other reason.
The evidence was so overwhelming, it's hard to see what difference it makes.
Well, Judge, in this matter, there were three counts. My client was acquitted of one, and there was a special interrogatory.
That was a surprise, I'm sure, to you. That the kidnapping wasn't?
Judge, when the complaining witness takes the stand and tells the jury that there was no kidnapping and
I expect to win. These situations where this romantic involvement and retraction and so on looked like a very strong kidnapping case. So, it's not as if the jury was uncritical, you know. It seemed to bend over backwards in favor of your client, and why would the testimony of this psychologist have made any difference?
Well, I believe it made a big difference on two levels. One was, in addition to the recantation by...
Put differently, if the psychologist had been an influential witness, you'd think they would have convicted your client of kidnapping as well.
Well, if she had... I think that because of her lack of substantiation, that the jury accepted not everything that she said and therefore acquitted of the kidnapping. But I don't think that was the only reason. The evidence of all of the occurrence witnesses to the so-called kidnapping undermined any evidence that there was a kidnapping at all. There was no threat. There was no gun exhibited. My client allegedly said, come on, and then Beatrice Patrick, after going into her house by herself, came out and got into a van. At one point, he's alleged to have threatened her by shaking a milk crate at her or something like that. But I believe that this was a closer case than Your Honor. I don't see much point in arguing with you. I don't expect to change anybody's mind. But I think that the other factor that the court should consider is the answer to the special interrogatory on count two about whether or not a gun was used in furtherance of the interstate domestic violence. The jury's conclusion was no. They somehow managed to convict him of using a gun on count three, and I think that that's another place where Dr. Burgess' testimony was extremely detrimental to the defense, because Beatrice Patrick denied that there was a gun used. Her previous statements were, other than to the grand jury, were somewhat general. Fornuki Sidney only saw the gun in my client's waistband, allegedly, and never saw it used.
She a visibly armed person. That's pretty intimidating.
You could argue it, but I believe that without Beatrice Patrick saying that she was intimidated by the gun, I mean, this is a couple who've been together for 11 years. If he's the type of person who carries a gun, I'm sure she's seen it before. And I don't think that there was sufficient evidence other than the grand jury testimony, which she recanted at trial, to show that the gun was used. And the recantation was undermined by Dr. Burge's testimony, so I would argue that that was critical to the outcome of the case. In addition, the way Dr. Burgess reached her conclusions...
When you say the recantation was undermined, did you propound to the jury any theory as to why she had, as you believe, lied to the grand jury?
Yes, Judge. It was my argument to the jury that she had... it was pretty indisputable that she had been beaten up by Roy Young. It was just a question of was it interstate domestic violence and was there a gun involved and was there a kidnapping. And my argument was that he had beaten her up and that she was angry with him and therefore she made up the allegations and then thought better of it since Roy was looking at a long, long time in prison and changed her story back
to the truth. So after having committed perjury before the grand jury, she then committed perjury at trial.
No, I would believe that I would submit
because
that
among the things she testified to at trial was that she couldn't remember the answer to the question, did you testify before the grand jury?
Okay, I can't defend that answer. That could have, that probably was perjury.
Certainly was perjury.
Well, I'm not here to defend Beatrice Patrick. I don't believe anything she said was reliable enough to justify a finding of guilt in this case. And I think that that would have been clear to the jury had but for this government expert who was explaining away her perjury and her changes of story. And I don't believe that the government's witness, Dr. Burgess, had sufficient basis to draw those conclusions. She drew her conclusion about Beatrice Patrick being a battered woman before she'd ever even had a face-to-face interview with her, which I think undermines everything she said from that point on. In addition,
Do you think interviews are such valuable sources of psychological insight?
Well, it seems to me that's the fundamental basis of psychology is talking to the patient.
Why?
Or whatever.
I didn't understand that.
Why is that the basis of psychology?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question, Tish. I'm sorry.
Well, you'd think that other forms of evidence would be a lot more important about a person than what she says in an interview.
Well, I would agree that there are other important forms of evidence that Dr. Burgess never bothered to get or to explore. One of the fundamental things she should have done, in addition to a face-to-face interview, was a social history. She should have talked to her friends and her family and her employer and found out certain things about her that would have been possibly shown other explanations. Dr. Burgess made a large point of the learned helplessness that she felt that Beatrice Patrick exhibited, but the defense expert in the motion said that that could be due to drug abuse, mental health problems, depression, things of that nature, and Dr. Burgess never went to examine.
So did you have your own expert?
I had an expert at the pretrial motion strictly with regard to the scientific validity of...
You didn't have a trial expert?
No.
Because you could have hired a psychologist to go and talk to her friends.
I could have, Judge, but as a matter of tactics, it seemed to me that since I wanted to disparage the use of the psychology by Dr. Burgess, it would be counterproductive to call my own psychologist or psychiatrist.
Really? I thought the usual thought of trial lawyers was that you need an expert to knock off the other side's expert. The experts cancel, and then the jury decides, you know, based on common sense.
I felt calling my own expert would have added to the credibility of Dr. Burgess's conclusions.
How is it that an expert who contradicts the prosecutor's expert enhances the credibility of that expert?
That presumes a fact, not an evidence. Would your expert have contradicted the expert?
Well, my expert never examined Beatrice Patrick.
So you did not have an expert to contradict the expert?
No, I did not. I merely had heard to say that...
So
I
said the same thing. That's the problem.
Is that what you were concerned about, that any psychologist would agree with her?
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think that if a competent psychologist had done a thorough examination.
Okay, so why didn't you hire a competent psychologist to do a thorough job and then testify?
I felt it was better to disparage
but
the psychologist.
But why? You say a competent psychologist who did a thorough job would show up the prosecuted expert as shallow, erroneous, superficial, failed to interview her, failed to talk to her, failed to talk to her friends. Why wouldn't that be a very powerful line of defense?
Well, perhaps it was a mistake on my part, but I felt it wasn't my thinking at the time. My thinking was that if I'm going to disparage the psychology and the
social science... Okay, first you try to knock her out of the box, try to get her disqualified under Daubert. When that fails, I don't see what the reason you could have for not hiring an expert. Now you know she's going to testify against your client. You're convinced that her study was superficial and so on, so you go out and get your own psychologist and whack her.
Well,
better save your rebuttal time.
Okay, thank you, Judge.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hunter. Mr. Kokoris?
May it please the Court, John Kokoris for the United States. Your Honor, the primary issue raised by the defendant is whether Dr. Burgess should have been allowed to testify at all at trial, and as Daubert and Kumho Tyer instruct, the test is whether her testimony rests on a reliable foundation and whether it is relevant to the task at hand. And after a full Daubert hearing in which Dr. Burgess was cross-examined by defense counsel and the defendant presented his own expert, the court concluded that indeed it did, that her testimony did rest on a reliable foundation and certainly was relevant because it went to the credibility of the victim in this case, perhaps a critical witness in this case. Also, as Daubert and Kumho Tyer instruct, the district court has broad latitude in deciding whether an expert should be allowed to testify at trial, and the district court in this case made its conclusions after carefully...
I don't really see what this kind of expert testimony... I mean, the theory of expert testimony is to help jurors with issues that they can't resolve on their own because they're technical or so on. But understanding these romantic situations with recantation is extremely common. What do you need an expert about that? Why can't jurors out of their own life experiences reason to a sensible result?
Assuming you have a jury of battered women, of course. But go ahead.
I think Judge Bauer is correct. I think a lot of jurors do know that battered women typically recant. I think it's equally likely that a juror will look at photos...
Well, not just battered women who recant. A lot of women or men recant because they've testified in anger against a spouse or someone, and then they think better of it.
Right.
Or maybe they testify truthfully, but now they decide, you know, they've hurt them enough, so now they're going to recant. So I don't see what the...
The evidence we presented was that this defendant held this woman for approximately 4 days in his apartment, repeatedly beat her, sexually assaulted her, and threatened her with a gun. I think some jurors would say that if that they themselves were in the victim's shoes, there is no way they would ever take the stand and say this person didn't do it. Quite the opposite. I think some jurors would say, if I were the victim, I would be on the stand trying to make sure this guy spent the rest of his life in jail. That's not what the victim did. The victim took the stand, said she still loved this man, and said that these things that she had told the grand jury and had told 911 and had told medical personnel really didn't happen. And I think some jurors would be bewildered by that, absent an expert to say, this is common. The expert in this case offered several different opinions, the general opinions on patterns consistent among battered women, that yes, indeed, it is common for battered women to recant statements of abuse, and it is common for them to have a reduced ability to perceive opportunities to escape from the abuse. The third prong of Dr. Burgess's testimony was that indeed this victim exhibited characteristics common among battered women. Her testimony was based on a variety of factors, including an interview with the victim, including listening to tape-recorded conversations between the alleged batterer, the defendant, and the victim, reviewing correspondence to and from these individuals to each other, reviewing old police reports, reviewing FBI reports in this case, including a report of the interview with the victim, reviewing the grand jury testimony, looking at the fact that this victim had an order of protection in place at the time of these offenses against this defendant. And certainly after reviewing all of that material, the court could find that, or I should say, after reviewing all that material, Dr. Burgess's opinions were resting on a reliable foundation. Your Honors, my opponent mentioned briefly that the jury convicted the defendant of using a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence, but marked in a special interrogatory that the defendant did not use a firearm, and I just want to address one thing on that. The count of conviction that he's referring to is count 3. It's a 924C violation, which makes it unlawful to use or carry a firearm during and in relation to a crime of violence. And so they could find either that the defendant used it or that he carried it during and in relation to that crime. Now, the law is clear from this court that even if the verdicts were inconsistent, that's not a factor that would be relied upon to reverse a verdict. However, it is our position that the verdicts are not even inconsistent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gorsuch. Mr. Hunter, how much time does he have? Okay.
To address the point that counsel just made, while it's true that 924C does talk about having a firearm during or in relation to, I believe that the case law states that it has to be more than mere possession, which is why I think this is a closer case than Your Honor had stated earlier. I think that but for Dr.
But he was carrying it in a literal sense, wasn't he? It's stuck in your belt. That's carrying it. That's different from having it in your safe deposit box.
Well, stuck in your belt, yes, but I believe that it still would have to be used in relation to the crimes.
No, it's not used. It's used or carry.
Okay, it would have to be carried in relation to the crime. I mean,
well, during, right? This is during this violent activity. He's got this gun in his belt.
Other than the words of Beatrice Patrick, there was no evidence of that. When Farnooqui Kidney saw the gun in his belt, Beatrice Patrick was in the bedroom and he was in the living room.
The jury can credit that part of her grand jury testimony.
They can, and they're more likely to if they allow Dr. Burgess's expert testimony.
That's a separate issue. That's not the gun issue.
Well, I believe that but for Dr. Burgess testifying, they would have...
Okay, but now you're putting all your baskets in, you know, the impropriety of her testimony. I think
right.
You had a separate argument about the gun.
Okay. I did
apparently
have a separate argument
regarding
the sufficiency of the evidence. It seemed to me that it was pointed out, Beatrice Patrick is a perjurer, and the only thing that happened that would connect the gun to the crime was her testimony. If I could get back to the point made earlier, I don't believe an expert was needed in this case. When Dr. Burgess testified during the trial to the jury, she talked about the three phases in the relationship here with a honeymoon phase, a fight phase, and then a makeup phase. And she said that the stressor that triggered it was Roy Young being jealous and finding her in the company of another man. And I would submit that general observation of a relationship between Roy and Beatrice also would apply to almost every couple. Couples get along, couples fight, couples make up. And I don't think that there was anything that Dr. Burgess told the jury that would be beyond their common experience. If I could say one more thing about whether or not it was a closed case versus overwhelming evidence. In this matter, one of the pieces of evidence that I thought was particularly compelling was that during the time that Beatrice Patrick was in Indiana with Roy Young, she had a cell phone and she called her work and said, I'm going to be out for a few days. She didn't say anything like, help, or you know what you would expect somebody who's being kidnapped and held against their will would say. And
unless you had a gun in your rear while you were talking.
Well, the...
Just as an academic throw-in, as long as we're going to speculate.
I understand, Judge, but even through the evolution of the testimony, she never said that when she called that. In fact, she said the opposite. She said that initially she said she snuck the cell phone away from him and he didn't know she had it. Mm. So she would have been free no matter at what point her story was looked at to call for help. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, and we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of the department.